It's all the time. No mistakes are allowed. It's too dangerous out there. I briefly closed my eyes, calming my mind and ridding it of any thoughts that would jeopardize us. Standing behind him and forcing myself to focus, I said, "Let's do this." That's what I wanted to hear. Dope's fingers flew across the keyboard again, pulling up information on Sarah Thompson. Okay, she's got two kids, ages 12 and 9, a boy and a girl. They're rich as fuck, so that might make things more difficult. Cameras are located around the house and property, which won't be a problem when we make our move. Dope sucked air through his teeth, creating a soft whistle. Looks like the husband travels only a few times a year. However, he's on the board of directors of BioSync Tech, so we know he's not at home at least a few nights a month. Dope continued to sift through the information. Shit, this guy stays close to the family. My eyes narrowed with the revelation. Makes it more difficult for damn sure. We might have to schedule the plan on an evening he's working late. Dope glanced over his shoulder in my direction. Don't you find it odd that the meetings are at night? I smell something rank, Bass. See what you can dig up. I paced the small room, my thoughts bouncing from Ella to Sarah Thompson. Once I'd seen the videos, I'd morphed into a jealous, possessive arsehole and selfishly paid the medical bills without her permission. I did it for Ella. But my desire to keep her to myself was a factor. Sneaky bastard, Dope said. What? I hurried over to him, peering at the screen. Once I read the details about the board meeting, I laughed. Jackpot, motherfucker. I slapped Dope on the shoulder with the back of my hand. Let's do it. Let's fuck up his world. Now you're talking. Dope rubbed his hands together, giddy with the idea. Let me check his schedule. I shoved my hands into the pockets of my slacks. Oh, hell, it's our lucky day. It's in 2 days, just enough time. Perfect. We'll be ready. I pulled my phone from my back pocket to check the time, seeing Ella's message. I fired off a response, then focused on the next steps with Dope.
Chapter 13. Ella. Once I saw Cammy in the waiting room, I told her they were removing Dad from the trial, and we both broke down sobbing. I'll do everything I can to help, babe. I'll vet hospice nurses if you want, check on him daily, and move in with your parents if I need to. I sniffled through my tears. I know you will. Me too. My shoulder slumped with the exhaustion I'd carried over the last year. The medical bills, the constant spikes of hope, and the nearly debilitating drops of defeat almost crippled me emotionally. It was a stab in the heart over and over as the new treatments failed. Cammy, I don't know how I would make it without you, especially this last year. I'm so fucking lucky to have you as my bestie. I wiped away the moisture from my cheeks. I think Dad is tired. When the doctor told us about the trial, he closed his eyes and his entire body relaxed. How can he not be exhausted? Hell, we are, and we're not sick. Cammy dabbed the teardrops from her face with her fingertips. Let's go. You're going to sleep in your own bed tonight. I'll stay with you. I slipped my arm through hers as we walked down the hall. I loved that idea. But the alarm system won't be installed until tomorrow. She patted her purse and grinned. Don't worry, babe. If the stalker shows up, I'll pop a cap right into the middle of his fucking head. I've got Old Faithful with me. I'm glad you have your permit. I do need to check on the house. And taking a long, hot shower sounds like heaven. I already have clothes at your place, so let's just go on over. Well, I'm starving, so let's grab some food on the way. Sadness flashed through her eyes. I need to soothe my grief with unhealthy carbs. I glanced at my watch. The only places open after midnight are fast food, so you're in luck. We reached the elevator and rode it down to the lobby. Yep. Arby's or KFC, babe? Arby's. A chocolate shake sounds really good. It finally dawned on me that tomorrow was Monday, and I was in no shape to go to work. Checking the time, I pulled up my boss's cell number and left him a voice message, updating him about my dad and that I wouldn't be into work for the week, but would call him in a few days. I was quiet as Cammy drove to pick up food and then went to my place. I tried to sort through the information the doctor had provided, but I didn't want to accept what he had said. A part of me refused to give up, but the logical side reminded me that there were no more trials for Dad to try. Even if there were, would he put himself through one again? He had fought hard for a long time. When he had lost the will to fight, I had picked up the mantle for him. My shoulders and neck stiffened at the thought that it was time to accept the cold, hard truth. Dad was on borrowed time. Whether I liked it or not, I had to make the best of it with him. 10 minutes later, we were inside my house, and I immediately locked the front door. I'll have a look around. Stay put. Cammy withdrew her pistol and checked all the rooms, under the beds, and the locks on the windows and doors. Looks good. Thanks, babe. I'm so fucking tired. But with the hard news tonight and knowing a serial killer is in the area, I might not be able to sleep. My shoulders slumped in exhaustion. Girl, you're so wrung out. I will stay awake to make sure you're safe if that will help you sleep. Cammy and I walked to the kitchen, clutching Arby's bags of fries, cheese sticks, and chicken sandwiches. I took a long sip from my drink. A wave of rich, creamy chocolate goodness burst across my taste buds, causing me to moan. This is almost orgasm. As I struggled to swallow the thick drink, my eyes widened as they locked onto something that wasn't there before. My breaths slowed, seesawing in and out, keeping tempo with each step I took while approaching the granite counter. My senses stood on high alert as I set down my bag and milkshake, my heart pounding. I saw that someone sent you a present. Look at that pretty gold wrapping. If you don't want the red ribbon, I'll take it. Her gaze narrowed on me. Wait a minute, you're holding out on me, girl. Who is sending you gifts? A tight knot of fear held my voice captive, causing me to hesitate to speak to her. I was riveted with the exquisite box in front of me. My rational thoughts were overridden by intense curiosity as I reached for it, ignoring the warning signs that screamed danger. Maybe I should have called the police. Maybe I shouldn't have opened it without them there. Despite a nagging sense of unease, I gently tucked at the large bow with unsteady fingers, unraveling it. Cammy's warm breath on my neck told me she was just as curious and apprehensive. As I peered into the box, my brows furrowed in surprise and shock. Frowning, I lifted out the sheer black lingerie, its design leaving little to the imagination. Damn! Sebastian is smitten big time if he's sending you sexy stuff already. Good job. She elbowed me in the arm, slurping on her soda. A cold wave of dread washed over me, making me hastily drop the gift back into the box. An unsettling thought raced through my mind. How on earth had someone entered my home? My heart thudded as I recalled Cammy's words moments ago. All the doors and windows were securely locked. What if it was Shadow Whisperer? The serial killer? I couldn't shake my questions. If it was the killer, why me? Mentally, I combed through recent criminal cases, wondering if one of the accused had seen me in the courtroom and developed an obsession with me. The scenarios swirled chaotically, a tumultuous waltz of uncertainty and fear. I don't think it was Sebastian, Cammy. He wouldn't have broken into my house to leave this. Anger pumped through my veins, and I tossed the gift into the trash. I placed my hands on my hips, furious that someone had the balls to break into my home without my permission and violate my space. Violated me. Fuck that. "Maybe I missed something," she said, her gaze darting around the open floor plan before she stared at me. "What are you not telling me, Ella? Something is off." "There is a good possibility it was the same man that was at my window the other night." I swallowed several times, trying to collect my words. "I think I have a stalker, Cammy." The color drained from Cammy's cheeks as my confession registered. "Why would you say that? Whoever it was only showed up once, right?" I hadn't told her about the second time, and I was too upset to tell her that night. It wouldn't make a difference anyway. "Damn it, I can't eat. I've lost my appetite." I scooped the bag and drink off the counter and tossed it into the fridge. Next, I grabbed the bottle of vodka from the cabinet and poured two shots for myself. I added ice and a bit of water. This conversation called for a stiff drink. "Want one? You might need it." Cammy nodded and climbed on the bar stool, munching on her fries and staring a hole through me. I made her a drink and set it next to her. After a few gulps of mine, I sucked in a sharp breath. I had no intention of ever sharing with Cammy about my cam job. But if Shadow Whisperer was stalking me, then she needed to know in case he went off the rails and hurt me. At least she would know the full story and be able to talk to the police. "I need you to hear me out with an open mind." "Of course I will." She picked up her drink and took a sip, wincing before she set it down. "The alcohol is smooth as hell, but I think I need a splash of something else. Do you have any cranberry juice?" I located what I needed and topped off Cammy's drink, my palms slickening with sweat as the seconds ticked by. "Much better." She smacked her lips. "Sorry, it's already been a shit show of a night, and I have a feeling I'm going to need more than one. If you can still hit a target drunk, then I'll keep pouring for you." I leaned against the counter, my attention sweeping through my kitchen and living area. Over the next several minutes, I confessed to Cammy about working the cam job to help pay Dad's medical bills. She sat still, listening until I told her I'd flown to Seattle to meet with Shadow Whisperer and was paid $25,000 when he canceled. "Are you fucking insane?" Her screech bounced off the walls and I covered my ears. "Yes, but you knew that, Cammy. I'm drowning in debt. I barely have enough to cover my bills, and I was the only hope Dad had. I would do anything to save him, anything. You know how close we are." I paced the room, angry at the shit show called my life. The money was originally $50,000 to watch, and Shadow Whisperer promised he wouldn't lay a hand on me. My throat tightened as a wave of blame crashed over me. If I hadn't agreed to meet him and allow the situation to become more personal, maybe it wouldn't have pushed him over the edge. If it was even him. Cammy's shoulders rolled forward as she slumped in her seat. "I wish you'd told me. I could have moved in and split the bills. Hell, I would have picked up extra shifts to help pay for his medical trial, babe. You didn't have to go sell your gorgeous body to strange men. It wouldn't have been enough. And even though you're family, this wasn't your fight. I love you for wanting to help, and thank you for not judging me. You're hard-headed as hell, but I'll let it slide for now. We have to figure out who left the creepy present for you." Unease ghosted over me, and a thought just out of reach tugged at my mind. Though I was being ridiculous, I decided to text Sebastian. I pulled my phone out of my clutch, realizing I was still in my dress and heels. My fingers flew over the keyboard as I messaged him. Me. "Crazy question, since we only had our first date tonight. But you didn't happen to leave a gift for me?" I set the cell on the counter. "I'm going to change into something more comfortable. I'll also pay to have your dress cleaned. We danced in the rain on the rooftop of the restaurant, and we were both soaked. It wasn't long after that when you called me. I offered her a sad smile. Jesus, that sounds romantic as hell. I hope it's not him breaking into your home, Ella, I really do. That makes two of us. I took my drink and phone, heading into my bedroom. A soothing hot shower would have to wait. I was too exhausted and mentally wrung out. I'm going to call it a night. Sounds good. I know the way to the guest room. She smiled and gave me a little wave goodnight. Once I changed into my comfy pajamas, my cell chimed with a message. Picking it up from my nightstand, I stared at Sebastian's text. Sebastian.
I wish I'd thought to send you something to make you feel better since your father's in the hospital, but I didn't.
Me. I appreciate the thought. I'll see you in the AM. It would have been super easy for Sebastian to lie to me about the lingerie, but something in my gut said it wasn't him. I chewed on my thumbnail, then hopped online to see if Shadow Whisperer had messaged me. I wiggled the mouse and my computer lit up. After I logged into the website, my mouth dropped at the number of notifications. 208, and they were all from Shadow Whisperer. I clicked each one, reading the short messages. Where are you? Why aren't you working tonight? It's your night to work. I want to talk. Are you out spending my money?
Ella.
Yeah. I know your real name. Are you out fucking other guys on me? That's the wrong thing to do. You're such a slut, Ella. I paid you. You're supposed to be here with me. You owe me, bitch. Where are you? Are you being a little cum whore with someone's cock in your cunt? You're really pissing me off. Where the fuck are you? With each message I read, he grew angrier, bordering on desperate. I gripped the back of my neck, anxiety coursing through me. The messages confirmed what I was worried about. There was no doubt that Shadow Whisperer was my stalker. For a moment, I put myself in his position. We had talked for over a year, and he had watched every video I had posted. It would be easy for him to build me up in his mind, shaping the idea of what he needed me to be, while reality painted a different picture. With my job, I'd spent a lot of time around unhinged men, and I'd always been attracted to the bad boys. They didn't scare me. I massaged my forehead, a whirlwind of thoughts and emotions pumping through my mind. Maybe I could breathe a little easier since I knew it was him. Shadow Whisperer had a temper, but when it came down to it, I hoped like hell he wouldn't hurt me. I groaned and slapped my hands over my face, wondering what the hell was wrong with me for not being terrified out of my mind. Most women would be, but with my job and the clients my bosses represented, I had spent time with some shady characters. Murderers, thieves, drug deals, and worse. My arms dropped to my sides as I read the messages again, more irritated than scared. I'm so damn stupid. If I hadn't agreed to his money and to meet him, none of this would be happening. Now I have an obsessed stalker, I said aloud. Standing, I closed my laptop before I sank onto the edge of my bed, numb from all of the emotional turmoil that was like a roller coaster with sharp turns and steep drops. Unpredictable and intense. Despite my exhaustion, I seriously doubted my brain would allow me to sleep. An idea stirred in my mind, and a renewed determination bubbled to life inside me. Shadow Whisperer was fucking with the wrong girl.
Chapter 14. Death. Whoever becomes a lamb will find a wolf to eat him. Vilfredo Pareto. I glanced around the dimly lit room, shadows dancing on the walls as the flickering candle in the center of the table cast an eerie glow. The air was heavy with a scent of roses in Ella's yard, mingling with the metallic tang of blood still lingering on my hands. I took a deep breath, savoring the quiet moment before the storm. As I peered through the window, a twisted grin crept onto my face. There she was. Ella. My Ella, unaware of my presence as she moved about her kitchen. Once she'd arrived home from the hospital, I crept through the darkness and identified my secret spot. I wanted to watch when she spotted the gift I'd sent her. But her reaction wasn't what I'd expected, and it took me an hour to rein in my fury when she tossed the box in the trash. "Don't worry, little lamb. You can't get rid of me as easily as you did my present," I whispered into the darkness. When Ella had disappeared into her bedroom, Cammy had made her way to the guest room and retired for the night. Not long after, Ella returned to the kitchen, unable to sleep. Her movements were graceful, almost hypnotic, as she prepared something to eat. The soft light from above illuminated her delicate features, casting a halo around her dark hair. With my Grim Reaper mask in place, I watched with hungry eyes as she carefully chopped vegetables, her brow furrowed in concentration. The knife in her hand gleamed, a deadly dance partner in her delicate hands. A delicious thrill rippled through my body as I imagined the blade slicing through the flesh of my next kill, Ella by my side as the blood splattered, staining her porcelain skin. I would paint her naked body with crimson as I forced her to kneel and worship me. I would savor every minute of our encounter. A perverse sense of pride rose as I thought of the intricate plan that had led me to this point. It wasn't just about the thrill of the hunt or the taste of the kill. It was about the artistry involved, the perfect execution that elevated it from mere violence to an exquisite dance with death. Ella paused momentarily, a faint frown marring her features, as if sensing something was wrong. I held my breath, willing myself to blend into the darkness outside. But then she returned to her food. The time was near. A surge of anticipation coursed through my veins. Soon, Ella would be mine to mold into my masterpiece. My heart raced as I imagined the terror in her eyes when she finally realized the danger lurking around the corner. Her year had been filled with the ups and downs of her father's illness, but my little lamb had no idea how much her life was really about to change. My hands tingled with excitement, the muscles in my fingers twitching. Ella strolled to the cabinet, removed a Tupperware container, and loaded the vegetables in it before she sealed the lid and placed the dish in the refrigerator. She returned to the sink and washed the knife and cutting board. As she grabbed a paper towel and dried her hands, her shoulders slumped with exhaustion and she rolled her neck, stretching. Ella adjusted to the darkness at that moment, and she gaped as her attention landed on me. Time froze as we stared at each other, locked in a silent battle of wills. Terror flashed in her green-eyed gaze as she struggled to speak. "What do you want from me?" she yelled, her voice trembling. A twisted, menacing smirk slid into place. "Your soul," I mouthed before I disappeared into the night. Chapter 15. Sebastian. After I left Dope's place last night, I thought I'd be able to sleep. But it had eluded me. Ella's video was on replay in my mind, but her text had taken me off guard. Was some other guy sending her gifts? It wasn't any of my fucking business, but I wanted to know if I had competition. More importantly, I had to tuck away my ego and remember that she was going through hell with her father's medical issues. If anyone understood parental struggles, I did. Something about her soothed me, and I wanted to be there for her as well. We would see if she would let me help, or let me off the hook. The next day, Ella greeted me with a soft smile. Her hair was up into a high ponytail, and she wore a light pink tank with black running shorts. She looked good enough to eat, but I had to remember why I was here, and it wasn't to fuck her senseless on her kitchen counter, but it wouldn't stop me thinking about it. The weight of fatigue was evident in every inch of her face. Her eyes were shadowed with dark circles, and her once lively gaze seemed dull. Had she slept at all?
Hi, thanks for coming over.
Of course. I reached over and gently moved a loose strand of hair off her cheek, then pressed my forehead against hers. She leaned into my embrace, and the tension in her body melted away as she relaxed against me. She broke our hug and took a step back.
You just missed Cammy. She stayed over last night.
She tipped her head toward the window.
As you could see from the truck in my driveway, the guys were installing a security system. I figure with the serial killer running around, it would be a smart idea. I also took this week off so I could spend time with Dad.
Her voice lowered, and grief shadowed her expression. I certainly don't disagree with that. Have them install multiple emergency buttons in your house. There are several in the club. If you want, I can make sure they're doing a good job. Ella's brows raised.
Really? I don't know anything about installation or camera angles.
She rubbed her bare arms, as if she were warding off an evil spirit.
Something was off, but I couldn't put my finger on it. Yet.
Maybe inspecting the men's work would allow me to piece some things together. Like what she was so scared about. Of course. I want to make sure you're as safe as possible in your home. I gently squeezed one of her biceps.
Would you like any coffee? I can make some more.
Oh, I'm good, thanks. Point me in the direction, and I'll take a look at the cameras. She massaged her temples.
I think they're installing an emergency button in my bedroom. Down the hall, third door on the left.
The last thing I'd anticipated was double-checking the alarm company's job, but I knew firsthand how sloppy some people's work was. I would make damn sure this wasn't going to be one of them. An hour later, I joined Ella on the couch. She closed her laptop and set it on the coffee table in front of us.
How did it go?
They're doing a good job. I gave them some pointers with the angles and made sure that almost every inch of your yard and home are covered. There's a blind spot, but it's not too bad. Ella placed her hand over mine.
Thank you. I really appreciate your input.
Ella!
Jonas, one of the technicians, asked.
We're all done. Your boyfriend was a big help and we finished early.
Ella jumped off the sofa, not bothering to correct Jonas.
Oh, good. Thank you.
I held back as he showed Ella how to use the monitor app on her phone, and where all the buttons were installed as well. 30 minutes later, he and his co-workers loaded the van and left. I was finally alone with her, which might be a good or bad thing. Ready to hear what she had to say, I asked, "Can we talk about your text from last night?" She tucked a loose strand of her hair behind her ear, a wistful expression twisting her mouth.
"I knew I'd see you today, so I figured an explanation would mean more face to face."
She remained standing, pursing her lips. I shifted in my seat, looking at her.
"When I got home from the hospital, there was a gift on the counter. At first I thought someone had broken in, but Cammy had checked all the locks and doors before we even came inside. Everything was fine."
"Then how did it get in your house?" I didn't like this situation at all, and I was glad she'd had an alarm system installed. Otherwise, I would have camped out on her couch, waiting for the fucker that thought it was funny to scare a single woman like that. She gave me a small shrug and huffed out a little laugh.
I forgot my friend Alexa had a spare key. She dropped something off, forgot the car to say who it was from, and I just freaked out over nothing. It's been a stressful week.
She propped her elbow on the back of the couch, assessing me. Concern nudged me in the side. Although I wanted to believe her, something didn't feel right, and I suspected she was too scared to tell me the truth. Regardless, I would find out soon enough.
I'm glad you have good people in your life.
Me too. How's your father?
I asked, redirecting the conversation away from Alexa. Ella plopped onto the couch and tucked a leg beneath her. Tears welled in her eyes and slipped down her cheeks. I leaned over and gently wiped them away with a pat of my thumb.
Talk to me, Ella. What can I do to help?
Nothing.
She sniffled and looked away from me.
The doctor said that he can't continue the trial. It will kill him before the cancer does. He should be released from the hospital in a day or two. Cammy called a hospice nurse to monitor him, give him pain medication, and take care of him until he...
Her shoulders shook as she sobbed into her hands.
I'm so sorry.
I wrapped her in my arms and pulled her in my lap, rocking her as if she were a little girl, and I was giving her a safe place to grieve. Once her tears dried, she nestled her head on my shoulder.
I'm sorry that you have to see me like this. Everything in my life is so complicated right now.
Shit, here it comes. I braced myself for her next words. Her fingers trembled as they trailed up my biceps.
Am I allowed to sound like a clingy girl for a minute?
My chuckle rumbled through my chest. From what I've seen, you're definitely not clingy. Strong, determined, but clingy isn't on the list.
My world is shitty right now, but you give me a light in the darkness. I need that. I need something to look forward to while Dad is making his transition.
She hid her face in my neck and snorted.
God, that sounded lame. I barely know you.
I threaded my fingers through hers, recalling my mother's words when I was 8 and had caught her crying after Dad had left the house. Maybe they would help Ella too.
Even the strongest women need support sometimes.
I wrestled with the idea of telling her that I had paid her father's medical bills, but I didn't think it was a smart idea. Letting her believe it was an anonymous gift would probably be best for now.
Tell me about your family. Where did you grow up?
Instead of getting up, Elle remained snuggled against me. I rubbed her back and wondered if she might fall asleep. If she did, I was okay with it. She was emotionally and physically drained. When I was in grade school, my family moved from Australia to the States. After that, I grew up in Minnesota. Mom was a school teacher, and Dad was an underwater welder.
Really? That's badass.
Ella stifled a yawn.
I'm sorry, I'm exhausted. And you're so warm.
It's all right. I won't take it personally if you doze off. I chuckled, happy that she felt safe next to me. My dad was good at what he did and was in high demand. He took on private jobs as well and made damn good money. As I got older, I began to worry each time he left, wondering if I would ever hug him again. When he returned, I would hear Mom quietly sobbing from relief in her room. The strain it put on our family wasn't justified by the money. Mom was grateful when he quit that job. He was home a lot more after that. A soft snore reached my ears, and I stifled my laughter. Carefully, I stood with her in my arms and carried her to her bedroom. Setting her down gently, I covered her with a blanket at the foot of her bed. At least she felt comfortable enough to fall asleep. It had also saved me from having to share the rest of my background. Eventually she would learn more, but it was too soon for her to swallow that fucking pill. After a final sweep of her house, I ensured the windows and doors were locked. My phone buzzed in my back pocket and I retrieved it. Dope's name lit up my screen and I declined the call. If Ella heard me talking, it might wake her up and she needed a sleep. To my surprise, it was almost 2 in the afternoon and it was time to go to the club. Quietly, I located a notepad and pen in her kitchen and left her a message that I would call her later. I let myself out and climbed into my car. Once I was buckled in, I started the engine and called Dope back. "What's up?" I pulled away from the curb and headed downtown to Velvet Vortex. "Guess who's going out of town tomorrow?" His voice was filled with excitement, and I imagined he was rubbing his hands together. "Damn it, I don't want to play a guessing game. Just tell me. Sarah's husband." As soon as the words left his mouth, I made a quick U-turn and drove the car in the opposite direction. Fuck yeah, I'm on my way. Chapter 16. Death. Lambs are sweet, but they're also a symbol of someone who is innocent and perhaps naive, unknown. Once Cammy had left Ella's house early that morning, I waited for her to settle in for the night and then made my move when she was vulnerable. My little lamb thought she'd taken all the steps necessary to secure her home, but it overlooked one glaring detail. I could pick any lock, including state-of-the-art, high-tech security systems. Nothing could keep me out. I adjusted my Grim Reaper mask, allowing my eyes and mouth to line up with the holes as the fabric molded to my skin. My masks had been custom-made to fit like a second skin, allowing me to breathe and see without any issues. I flexed my gloved fingers before I kneeled and examined the ancient tumbler lock. With a few delicate twists of my picks, I felt the last pin fall into place and heard the soft click of the mechanism. I stood and opened the kitchen door, walking into her house without a sound. Little did Ella know that I had connections everywhere, including one of the men who had installed the system. It had been easy to disarm her alarm. She was never safe from me. As I entered her darkened bedroom, I licked my lips. I walked over to her bed, carefully gauging the rise and fall of her chest as she slept. I took a deep breath and turned to her laptop, which rested on the desk. Moving the mouse ever so softly, the light from the screen illuminated my figure in the darkness. A thrill of anticipation ran through me as I inserted the thumb drive and typed in a few quick commands that sent an insidious virus into her computer system. It would delete any evidence of our conversations from the webcam website we frequented. She'd assumed she could get away with taking advantage of me, but I'd caught her with that man from Velvet Vortex again. If my little lamb wanted to play this dangerous game, I would relish every moment. A smirk played at the corners of my mouth at the thought of teaching her a lesson. I wanted her to break down and plead with tears streaming down her cheeks, begging for forgiveness. Once the virus had finished running its course, I slid the thumb drive into the pocket of my jeans and removed my knife from the sheath, strapped to my calf. My footsteps were silent as I crept toward her bed. She was fast asleep on her back, her breath soft and steady, and was completely clueless that I was looming over her. The sheet covering her body had slipped off, exposing her tanned legs. With a practiced hand, I sliced through the fabric of her shorts with my blade, the pieces falling to the sides. I focused on her bare cunt. But this was the first time I'd seen it in person. My dick pressed painfully against my jeans as I imagined how she tasted. You'll have relief soon. I slid a finger between her slightly parted legs and stroked her sensitive nub. She sighed and shifted her hips closer to me as my massage intensified. Ella's juices slicked my fingers as her body quivered in pleasure.
Sebastian?
Sleep coated her voice as she pried her eyelids open. Terror flashed across her face, and I moved my hand from her pussy to cover her mouth. This was about to get good. Keep those pretty legs spread from me. She slapped them together, ignoring my demand and narrowing her gaze. I love a woman with a fight in her. I'm surprised you have anything left after dealing with your dad this last year. I tisked as she realized what I'd said. I know everything about you, Ella. With a few technology tricks, it was easy to eavesdrop. I also know that you love working for criminal attorneys, and I bet the idea of fucking a killer turns you on. Don't worry, little lamb. Your darkest fantasy is about to come true. She stared at me, digesting what I'd shared. You can part those thighs, or I can do it myself. I raised my knife, laughing when I realized there was still a spot of dried blood on the blade's edge. Can you keep your mouth closed and not scream? She nodded frantically against my palm. Slowly, I removed my hand and crawled over her body.
Are you going to kill me?
Her chin trembled with her question. I sneered as I ran the tip of my knife down her tank top, the cut shirt sliding over her ribcage and exposing her stomach. She visibly swallowed, and I fed off her fear. I responded with silence. You're even more stunning in real life. I moved the blade along her breast, a thin line of blood blooming from the surface wound. The sharp pointed tip traced around her nipple, causing it to harden in response to the cold metal. Her whimper echoed through the space as the sting of the slice met with the cool night air. Rage simmered inside of me, and I embraced it, welcomed the high that rode in on its coattails. Did he touch you?
Who?
Her chin visibly quivered. Sebastian Fletcher. Did he touch your breast?
No.
My gaze never left hers as I leaned down and licked the blood from her tender skin, savoring every delicious drop. Taking my time, I ran my tongue over the other breast, relishing the taste of her flesh. Blood makes me crazy, Ella. I crave it. Feed off it. After I'm finished killing my victims, I jerk off. These days, my hand isn't enough. You're going to replace it just fine. My maniacal laughter echoed through the house. I gripped the inside of her leg, her cry of pain making my cock hard with excitement. I have so much planned for our time together. Flipping the knife around, I rubbed her wet slit with the handle, her juices glistening off the black leather. Raw power pumped through me as her body responded.
Please, she whispered. Please don't.
She swallowed excessively, terror twisting her features. I moved off her bed, adrenaline rushing through my veins as I stood in front of her nightstand, blocking her access from the panic button located beneath the drawer. I'm a fair man, Ella, so I'll make you a deal. If you can reach one of the alarm buttons in the other part of the house, I'll leave you alone. You'll be free of me. No more messages. No more stalking. I'll move on. Like that would ever happen. But giving her hope before I stripped it away was all part of the game. And don't even consider the alarm I'm standing in front of. That would be way too easy. She sat up and swung her legs off the bed.
Do I have your word? You'll leave me alone? I'll never hear from you again?
Little beads of sweat coated her forehead, her gaze darting toward the kitchen. I fixated on Ella, her exposed and bleeding body sent shivers racing down my spine. My mind raced with a dangerous intensity, teetering on the brink of uncontrollable desire. The sight of her consumed me, and my senses heightened to levels only matched by the rush of torturing a victim. I was devoured by a primal craving, coursing through my veins like a drug I couldn't get enough of. Yes, but no more chit-chat. Run, Ella. Run for your fucking life. I'll even give you a head start. I sneered as she darted from her room, panic written all over her face. Even though I knew where each button was located, she didn't know that. My long legs ate up the distance, and I quickly blocked her from reaching the first one beneath the kitchen counter just as she reached to push it. Ella scrambled around the counter, her eyes wild with fear, desperate to reach the bathroom. Then, she had a moment of clarity and realized her mistake. She should have gone for the living room and the front door instead. She spun on her heels, zigzagging through the furniture in an attempt to escape, but I was quicker. As she lunged toward the gas fireplace mantel, I blocked her again before she could press the button that would have saved her. She scrambled to the front door, dripping and landing on the floor with a thud. I stalked menacingly behind her as she frantically tried to make her escape. I lunged forward, grabbed her ankle, and jerked her away from freedom. She screamed in terror, thrashing wildly in an attempt to break free, but I easily overpowered her. I pressed the blade of my knife against her throat, silencing her instantly. One more scream, and your blood will be all over the floor. Am I clear?
Yes,
she whimpered. I stepped back and hauled her off the ground by her arm, dragging her into her bedroom like a rag doll. No one defies me, little lamb. You just lost the fight. She wiggled against my hold on her, somehow managing to slip away. In a desperate attempt for freedom, she sprinted toward the back door. Her hands frantically fumbled with the locks before flinging the door open and running outside. 1, 2, 3, 4 steps out on her patio. I had to allow her a little hope before I brought her to her knees. I clamped my hand over her mouth as I quickly lifted her off the ground and dragged her back into the house. She howled and screamed beneath my palm, her limbs flailing in desperation. I kicked the door closed with a loud bang and threw her onto the floor. She landed on her back with a delightful thud, the air whooshing from her lungs. I towered over her, smiling at the fear danced across her features.
Why me? You could have picked any girl who worked for the website.
Her jaw clenched, and a spark ignited in her expression. Determination and a fight I had known was inside her. Every cell in my body burned to tame her, bend her to my will, and mold her. I unbuttoned and unzipped my jeans, her attention trained on my every move as I freed my throbbing cock. She flinched at my size. She should. I would split her open with it soon. Ignoring her question, I sneered at her. Get on your knees and crawl to me. Beg for my cock, little slut. Slowly, she did as I asked. It took everything inside of me not to come at the sight of her. I can't hear you, whore. Her tongue darted over her lower lip.
Give me that big cock.
Her voice cracked. Not good enough. I growled. What do you want me to call you? Daddy? Sir? I couldn't help but laugh. She didn't know who I was beneath the mask I used to hide my real identity. I'm Death, Ella. Call me by my name. She slammed her eyes closed and began crawling again.
Will you fuck me with that big, thick dick? I bet Death can fuck me better than anyone else.
When she was close enough, I fisted her hair and tipped her head back, forcing her into submission at my feet. She glowered up at me, her gaze filled with defiance and hatred. Suck my cock, my dirty bitch. I shoved my fingers into her mouth and pried it apart, spitting into her mouth. Swallow. She flinched, but did as she was told. Now, take my dick. If you bite me, I'll fuck you raw and carve your skin up like a Halloween pumpkin while I'm deep inside you. Her jaw relaxed, and I thrust myself into her mouth until I hit the back of her throat and cut off her air supply. I pulled her hair, moving her mouth up and down my length. Her fingernails dug into my thighs through my jeans, and I chuckled. My little lamb is getting off on this. You like being dominated. I bet your cunt is dripping wet for me. She sucked me better than I could have imagined, and I allowed myself to ride the edge before pushing her away, as much as I wanted to fuck her. It wouldn't happen tonight. Get on your back. Fear flickered in her face again.
Why me?
She lay down on her back, her gaze searching for an answer. I grabbed her by the throat so she wouldn't run as I shoved the handle of the knife inside her pussy. Shock twisted her facial features. Because you're different from the others. Ella McLeod is a good girl with a dark side. I'm your sickness, and I'll infect you with a fever. Ella's eyes closed, and her breath came in short, ragged gasps that turned into a shuddering moan as I thrust deeper and deeper. My dirty girl likes me fucking her with the same weapon I used to kill. We're more alike than I thought. I picked up the pace, my cock begging to come as she moaned, and her entire body trembled with her release. With a primal growl, I crawled over, then forced my throbbing shaft into her mouth, thrusting with savage abandon as she gagged and choked on me. The sound of her muffled moans only fueled my desire as I reached the edge and exploded, filling her throat with hot, pulsating spurts of my seed. I pulled out and ran my thumb through the last few drops of cum, and painted her lips, then smeared her tears and my semen over her flushed cheeks. I've never seen a more beautiful piece of art. God damn it! I never left DNA behind, but she'd gotten under my skin, making me lose my mind as soon as I touched her. Sleep well, my little lamb. I gave her a feral smile. Soon enough, you'll beg for me to visit. Slipping through the darkness, a newfound energy pumped through my veins. It was time to select my next victim to kill.
Chapter 17. Ella. The sun beamed through the window, casting a spotlight on the beige tiles. I lay motionless, numb and lost, as I stared at the cabinets. The minutes felt like hours as I tried to process what had happened. Peeling myself off the floor, I shook from head to toe as the mixture of adrenaline, fear, and the forced orgasm had left me weak. I struggled to stand, my knees cracking with the effort. I glanced down at my naked body. My shins were covered in light brown bruises, and a thin line of dried blood marked each breast. I stumbled to the ensuite bathroom. Emotionally and physically drained, I turned on the shower and fisted my hands against the glass. I should call the cops, but something inside, some twisted, sick, dark part of me didn't want to. Because for one depraved moment, I was entirely lost to sensation. My brain switched off, my body handing itself over to death to do with me as he pleased. I didn't have to think about my dad dying, saying goodbye, paying medical bills, keeping my head above water. I was free to drown. The sting of the blade marking my skin had made me feel. Death's words bounced around in my mind. I'm your sickness, and I'll infect you with a fever. Maybe he was right. I stood under the scalding hot water, the cuts stinging as the water glided over them. My brain pounded with a confusing array of emotions. I tried desperately to reconcile the two versions of death that I had encountered, the one online and the one in person. It wasn't like death was a total stranger. I'd met a version of him on the website, but experienced a completely different side to him last night. He was brutal and terrifying. My thoughts raced with the conversations we had had over the last year. His voice had always been disguised by the computer he used, so it was impossible to know if he had the same Pacific Northwest accent Death had. Plus, the man I knew as Shadow Whisperer had shared things about his life that made him look like a saint. If what he had said was true, he'd donated to charities and mentioned mentoring kids living in bad areas. But the man I knew as Death had marked me, stained my soul, and no amount of scrubbing could wash me clean. I'd been stupid to think I knew him without spending time with him in person first. It was easy to hide behind a screen and pretend to be someone else. Stop making excuses for him. He's a fucking criminal. He broke into your house and raped you, I muttered. My jaw clenched and unclenched. I should turn him in. From the clues he had given me, I strongly suspected that he was the Portland serial killer destroying lives, and now he was my stalker. I barked out a laugh. How the hell did I end up here? I tried to fit the puzzle pieces together, forcing myself to think logically. Who was this man? Was he a client at the law firm? Maybe we'd work together on a case, and he developed an obsession with me. Fear coiled like a snake in the pit of my stomach. I inhaled deeply, the steam filling my lungs. Was it possible that one of the men from the alarm company was behind the mask? I certainly couldn't rule it out, but this fucked up situation with Death was deeper and more personal than someone simply lurking in the shadows. Once I'd finished scrubbing my body and conditioning my hair, I turned off the shower and grabbed the towel. Minutes later, I had rechecked the locks, ensured the alarm was set, and dressed in clean pajamas. Glancing at the clock, I climbed onto the comfortable mattress. I realized that Death had access to my house, but only visited when it was dark and I couldn't see him. Apparently, I was safer in the daylight. My eyelids fluttered closed as I nestled into my pillow. I rolled out of bed, the digital clock reading 8 p.m. I'd been sleeping all day, but my mind was bogged down and my stomach twisted in knots. Cammy had gone to work, so I was alone with my tangled thoughts about Dad's illness and death's threats. My skin crawled, and I needed to leave the house before I burst apart. An hour later, I strolled into Velvet Vortex, the smell of hamburgers and fries heavy in the air. Since it was Tuesday evening, the dance floor wasn't packed, but the restaurant was. I made my way to the bar, searching for Sebastian, but I didn't see his broad shoulders and the black t-shirt he usually wore. It was someone else. I climbed onto a bar stool and set my handbag on the counter.
"Hey, you're Ella, right?"
the bartender asked. I frowned, anxiety shooting through me. I wasn't keen on anyone knowing who I was after death had broken into my home and hurt me. "Who's asking?"
"I'm Kip, one of Bass's best friends and part club owner. I've heard a lot about you. I've seen you as well, but I figured I should introduce myself."
I hid my sigh of relief. "It's nice to meet you. Is Sebastian here?"
"Yeah, he's in the office. Going back."
I slid off the seat, waiting for him to point me in the right direction.
"Walk past the kitchen and enter the employees-only area. In the hallway, his door is the third one on the right."
"Thanks." I gave him a small wave as I followed his instructions. Once in the hall, I spotted Sebastian's office. The door was closed, but I could hear his voice. "Ready to knock?" My hand froze in midair. I glanced behind me to make sure no one else was around before I pressed my ear to the door.
"Are you sure he won't be home? If we need to scout the house..."
What the hell is he into?
"Yeah, Brittany will be there at the designated time, and I'll hide the goods from there. You do your thing, hack the security system, and loop the feed so we cover our asses. I don't plan on being anyone's prison, bitch."
Fuck. Prison? Hacking a security system? A whirlwind of thoughts cluttered my mind, and I wondered if Sebastian might be the masked man. Is that why he had asked my opinion on the law and justice system over dinner? Whatever switch inside me had flipped, I was bound and determined to learn what was going on. I refused to wait at home, hoping to find my answers. Reality punched me in the chest as I realized